Glad you're here. And before we look into the Word of God, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners tonight. We thank Thee that it's possible for someone even in this room, even tonight, who can't say for sure that they're going to spend eternity in heaven. They can't say for sure their sins are forgiven. We thank Thee, Lord, that it's possible for them to know this before the evening is over, because the Lord Jesus died for our sins on the cross. We thank Thee, Lord, for the truth of those words, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And Lord, we pray that there might be some who for the first time would realize their lostness and what it would mean to die without a Savior, to die in their sins, to be lost forever. Lord, we pray that someone would see their need of Christ in a way they've never seen it before and come to understand that when the Savior died on the cross, He died for them. So, Lord, we look to Thee. Give help, Lord, in the preaching of the gospel, not only here, but to the ends of the earth. We ask in our Savior's name. We thank Thee for it. Amen. I'd like to read a few verses with you in the Bible. First of all, in Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. And verse 22, Isaiah 48 and 22, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." There's no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Now that word wicked means, as a thought of those that are wrong, those that are guilty. It's just not speaking about serial murderers and the worst of mankind. It actually includes you and me. Look in chapter 53. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him," laid on the Lord Jesus Christ, "the iniquity," or the sin, "of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord God, has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And I'll just read the first part of the verse. 1 Peter 3 and 18. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." And finally in 1 John, a little further toward the back of your Bibles, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, just the last 12 words in verse 7 of 1 John 1, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, for years I didn't know these words that we're reading here in 1 John 1 and 7 because I never read the Bible. I didn't know it was possible for a person to know for sure their sins are forgiven. And I'm going to tell you now, in just a few minutes, how I came to know that my sins are forgiven. How I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, there's nothing like it in this world. And yet, when I was about 20 years old, if you had tried to invite me to a meeting like this, I wouldn't have come. See, I didn't think there was anything to Christianity. I didn't think there was anything to the Bible. I didn't think I needed Jesus Christ. And maybe there's somebody here tonight, and that's where you're at. You've come, perhaps, out of politeness. I don't know everybody that's here. I don't know why you're here. But maybe you've come because somebody that you appreciate has invited you. Well, listen, you couldn't be in a better place. Because, my friend, The reality is, you and I are going to spend forever somewhere, and it's not going to be here in Jackson. It's either, the Bible says, the Lord Jesus says, it's either going to be heaven or it's going to be hell. And that's why God has you at a meeting like this. It's more than just being polite or maybe just because your parents brought you. God has an interest in you. He loves you more than you know. He sent His own Son to die on the cross in our place so you could have your sins forgiven, so you could spend forever with God in a place where there's no pain, no tears, no sorrow. This is what God has for every man, woman, boy, and girl. And yet the devil is so cruel, so cunning. He tries to make us think, and he succeeded on me for many years. I never believed there was a devil. I thought it was just a fairy tale. And yet he was twisting my mind, and he had me in a vice-like grip that I couldn't get out of. And if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus, I hate to think of where I'd be today. My friend, God wants to set you free. And yet the devil will try to make us think that if I become a Christian, it's going to be some kind of bondage. My life's going to be ruined. I'm going to have no fun. Listen, he wants to set you free. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to know your sins are forgiven. He wants to give you a purpose for living. And the Lord Jesus wants to be the best friend you could ever have. He's a living Savior. He's alive tonight. The one who died for us on the cross. You know, I didn't have the privilege like many here tonight. I didn't have Christian parents. I had good parents. They weren't Christians. We never read the Bible. And as many here likely know, we didn't have the Bible, but we listened to jazz a lot. My father was a musician, an amateur musician, loved music. And he wished he had the opportunity to study it. But he couldn't. His mother died when he was young. He had to help support the family. But he was determined his boys were going to have the opportunity he never had. And my younger brother, 5 years younger than me, from the get-go, it was just a given that that's what we were going to do. We were going to be musicians, jazz musicians. So jazz was playing, and we just about ate and breathed it. When I was not very old, I started playing in my dad's bands. And people should have known better, but they started giving me alcohol. And you know, my dad seemed oblivious to all this. I never saw my dad drunk. I'll say this to his credit. He just loved music. But you know, for some of us, it wasn't just the music, it was the whole lifestyle. And that's why, that's the way it was for me. I was searching for something. Even when I was young, I knew there was something missing in my life. I didn't know what it was. Am I speaking to somebody tonight? And you know what I mean? There's something missing. And maybe you've never thought about it, but something's not right somewhere. Can I help you here? You know what it is? Your sin is separating you from God. And my friend, unless you get that taken care of, you will never have real peace. Isn't that what we read, the first verse? God says in His Word, there is no peace to those who are guilty. And that means all of us. We're all guilty before God because we've sinned. In high school, I probably ran with the wrong people, partied on the weekends, drank and lived it up and thought that's where life was at. I couldn't wait to leave home because even though my parents weren't Christian, they did have some restrictions, and likely every rule that my dad made I broke. I was rebellious. I'm ashamed of it now. I made life hard for him. I left home to go to university in Toronto. And I could hardly wait to get there because then I could do whatever I wanted. No parental restrictions. And so I often played in a club at night and I missed a lot of school because the next day I wasn't in any shape to go to school. I thought it was great at first. And you know, I'll say to the young people here, maybe some of you have these visions dancing before your mind's eye. You know, the world looks so wonderful. And I'll tell you, the devil can paint a pretty picture of life in the fast lane. I'll tell you, but there's emptiness there. There's emptiness. My last years of university, this would have been in the 60s, late 60s. I got introduced to drugs, hanging around with the musicians I was, and started smoking marijuana. And I thought it was opening my mind to see things that other people weren't seeing, which is probably true. But I believed in it. I was so deceived. You know, the Bible says the devil blinds the minds of those that don't believe. I was blinded. And I thought, you know, especially for the music, the jazz we were trying to play, I thought, you know, with this help, we were really playing some far-out music, and it was probably far-out. But you know, that emptiness, that sense that something was wrong in my life, was getting stronger and stronger. And I remember Sundays, when after, you know, playing and the parties and everything else, Sunday when, you know, I had a lot of schoolwork and I should have been working at it, but wandering the streets of Toronto, wondering what's wrong. I was lonely. I was empty. And life wasn't turning out the way I expected. Now again, anybody here tonight? And life isn't turning out the way you expected either. Maybe there's a little bit of loneliness in that heart of yours. Emptiness in that life of yours. Listen, there's only one person who can fill that need. And he's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants to do that for you. Let me say this. This world is not big enough to fill the emptiness in your heart. It's not. Some of us have tried. Tried many things that the world has to offer. My friend, it isn't big enough. Whether it's money, whether it's drugs or alcohol, whether it's whatever. There's people all over the world that they can tell you tonight from bitter experience, it's emptiness. My friend, you need to get right with God. You will never have real peace or satisfaction until you get right with God. I mean, God made us. He made the universe. He's in charge. And yet we've turned our backs to Him. We read in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We've done our own thing. And just like when I broke my father's laws, there was trouble. He wasn't happy. So it was like this. Well, that's the way it is with us and God. We've broken God's laws. There's a problem. And I tried to ignore it for many years. But the drink, the drugs, that didn't solve the problem. Somehow I graduated from university and I worked as a professional musician in Windsor, Ontario, at a big nightclub there. My parents, my family, my friends, they thought I had it made. It was good money. And at first I thought it was going to be good. There's some famous people played there. We were the house band. But you know, it was quite an education for me playing at that place because I got to see some of these names, not just under the lights, but I saw how they lived backstage. And by this time in my life, I'm in my 20s now, early 20s, I was looking for something real. Something real. And what I saw in the entertainment business wasn't real. There may have been a few exceptions, but generally. So I began to search in different directions. I read books on philosophy. I started reading books on Hinduism and Zen Buddhism. I was searching. Really didn't know what I was searching for, but I was searching. And so if you had to come to that club where before you would have seen the piano player, that was me, and the saxophone player up behind the club smoking marijuana during our breaks, you would have seen the piano player in the corner by himself reading a book on Zen Buddhism. I was searching. Are you searching? Are you looking for God? And even for those of you, maybe you've heard the gospel from your earliest days, but you can't say, I'm saved, my sins are forgiven, I'm going to be in heaven. You can't say that tonight. Listen, tonight can be the night for you, because everything that needs to be done to save a sinner, to wash them once and for all, clean from their sins, it's been done. Christ died for our sins on the cross. God is satisfied with that, and He's just waiting for you to be satisfied. That's why He has you at this gospel meeting. Listen, the Lord Jesus has done the hard part. He just wants us to be honest and admit we're lost, we're helpless, and to put our trust in what He's done on our behalf. Well, my family was shocked, to say the least. My friends, when I quit playing at the Elmwood Casino. I quit because I didn't know what I was looking for, but I knew I wasn't going to find it there. So I did nothing for a while except meditate, read books on Zen Buddhism, smoke marijuana, became a vegetarian, and I guess that's enough said. There's only one problem. My money ran out. And I was staying with a friend of mine who was a drummer, and he said that he had an aunt who needed some work done around her farmhouse out in the country. And he said, you want to see her? Maybe you can make some money helping her. I said, that sounds good. So here's the deal. She's an older lady. She's a widow. This is 1970. I know it's for some of you kids it's hard to imagine 1970, but it really happened. I had long hair, a beard, sandals. I walk up this lady's driveway, farmhouse, with her nephew. She knows him, but she doesn't know this other thing. It's a wonder that lady didn't tell her nephew, get it out of here. It's a wonder. But you know, the lady was a Christian. And the Lord gave her a love for my soul. And she had some idea that God had brought me to her door. So we did whatever work needed to be done after she brought us in, gave us something to eat, and started. And as she bustled around the kitchen, I can still see her getting the food, she started talking about the Lord, about the Bible. I thought, whoa. I'd never heard it before. Never heard it. So I thought, well, this is interesting. So I started talking to her about Zen Buddhism. She needed to be converted, right? Well, that was the beginning of many conversations. Her nephew never came back. But I did. And you know, it was God that was doing this. God knew I was lost. He knew I was searching. And in His kindness, He brought me in touch with a person who could point me to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the one who could save me. I'm so thankful that I met this lady. You know, she just died a few years ago. I had the privilege of speaking at her funeral. And about 5 minutes, my wife and I went to the funeral. She was very old, hardly anybody there. 5 or 10 minutes before the funeral started, it just hit me how much I owe to this lady. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't know how many times I talked with Greta Flint and she talked to me. But she was just so kind. And I might not have bought everything she was telling me. But, you know, she talked about a God that she knew. And I could see she knew Him. I talked about a God in a general sense in Zen Buddhism, but I didn't know him. She talked about peace. She had it. I didn't have any peace. And so she asked me if I wanted to read a Bible. And she gave me this Schofield Bible of hers. It was all marked up, and I thought it was cool. I'd never seen anything like that before. And so I started reading it. And then my problems really started. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, as I started reading the Bible, I realized God saw me in a way that nobody else did. You know, we can fool others some of the time. We can fool ourselves a lot of the time, but none of us fool God anytime. My friend, God sees you tonight. He knows you better than you know yourself. And He loves you anyway. He loves you anyway. Well, as I started reading, for example, through the book of Romans, I realized, I felt like I was in a searchlight. You know, I was being interrogated and I was found out like a deer in the headlights. And I realized, boy, you better change your lifestyle. You can't keep going on the way you're going. So I tried to change my lifestyle. I tried to, you know, improve. I realized I'm guilty before God, but I'm going to do something about it. And it was like waking up in the middle of a nightmare. The harder I tried to change my lifestyle, the worse I got. Listen, sin is powerful. Sin is powerful. You young ones, don't play around with it. What seems so innocent when you're young, I'll tell you, can get a stranglehold on you when you're older. And unfortunately, there's many in the world tonight. And that sin has a vice-like grip, and they can't get free. But I couldn't get free. I tried everything, and I couldn't. Listen, I know what it's like to be powerless, to have it. Like I say, it was like a nightmare. You know, I got fairly good marks in school. I always thought, you know, I wanted to be something, you know, especially a musician and everything. And here now I'm at the age of 25, and I'm all alone. I basically left my family, my friends, just to pursue my own agenda, and now it's just me and my sin, and I'm all alone, and I'm trapped, and I can't get out. And I'll tell you, it was the worst time of my life. The worst time. But see, God had to bring me to that point before I would see my need of His Son. Before, Jesus was just a name to me. It's not that I didn't believe in Him, but He was just a name. I didn't love Him. Just a name. But I'll tell you, there was a day in June when I was 25 years old. I felt like I was going down, like a drowning man. I knew my sins were taking me to hell. And I had tried everything to save myself, and I couldn't. And my friend, there's not one of us in this room tonight that can take our sins away. And let me ask you, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? You know, if you think, well, maybe I'll get to heaven. I'm not a bad person. You know, I do this, I do that. Listen, you don't need a Savior. Listen, the Lord Jesus came into this world, the Bible says, to save sinners. To save sinners. To save. That means to deliver from danger. What's the danger? My sin qualifies me not for heaven, but for hell. Have you ever realized that you're just a heartbeat out of eternity? A heartbeat out of hell. My friend, you need the Lord Jesus Christ far more than you realize. There have been people that have come into a gospel meeting like this, expecting, oh, you know, I'll get a chance to hear it next week and next week. It's the last meeting they've ever had the opportunity to be in. Nobody else was home in the house that day. I don't know how many times I talked to that lady. She told me later on, once I came to see her, that she decided she was just going to, you know, not pull any punches. She was just going to tell me it like it was. She felt I had to do something with this salvation. And she said, as she tried to talk to me, it's like my face was a cement wall. And her words just bounced right off and came back and slapped her. She felt Satan's power so strong. She thought, this guy's hopeless. I was hopeless. Helpless. But I'll tell you, one day, in the little town of Essex, Ontario, about 16, 18 miles southeast of Windsor, there's a kind of a shacky house there. Nobody else was there. Young man, 25 years old, hardly knew anything about the Bible, didn't know much about the Lord Jesus, but God had been dealing with him, and he knew he was lost. His sin was a burden. And I'll tell you, that afternoon, I wasn't looking for another party, a better band to play with, or anything else. I just wanted my sins to be taken away. I just wanted to be saved. I couldn't save myself. And for the first time in my life, I looked to the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't know much about him. But you know, Rita Flint, that's the lady that had been talking to me, she said to me one time, she says, Larry, this is Zen Buddhism business. And I wish you could hear just the way she said it. She's just a simple lady, but no fool. She said, this Zen Buddhism business, is that getting you any closer to God? And I probably just hung my head in shame because I knew it wasn't. And I forget her exact words, but she told me, this is why the Lord Jesus came into the world. And maybe she quoted 1 Peter 1 or 3 and 18. Christ once suffered for sins, him for us, that he might bring us to God. And you know, I realized when she was telling me, and that day, that I can't get myself to God. And this is why Christ suffered on the cross. I needed somebody to get me to God. With the Buddhism and everything else, self-effort, I was trying to get to God on my own. And it was exhausting. Again, anybody here tonight? And you know you need to be right with God. You want to be right with God. You want to be able to say, for sure, I'm going to be in heaven. Listen, the Bible makes it very clear, we cannot save ourselves. My friend, this is tremendous news. God wants us to realize we can't save ourselves. We're lost. And this is why He sent His Son. He sent His Son to the death of the cross. And we read there in Isaiah 53 that when he was on the cross, God put all our iniquity, all our sins, on his Son. Is that true? Do you believe the Bible? That the Lord has laid on him, Christ, the sin of us all? Is that true? We were talking to a lady in near Mount Sterling, Wisconsin, just a few weeks ago. Came out to a few gospel meetings. Young woman, I would say about 25 years old. We're talking to her about these things. And you know, she realized the truth of what God is saying. That God put on Christ her sin. You know, in that house in Essex that afternoon, if you had been there watching, you would have seen a young man who was lost crying out to God. There were no flashes of lightning, no special effects. In fact, there was nothing tangible at all took place that you could have seen. But you know, in a moment of time, my sins were taken away. Why? Because I had put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I realized I was the lost one. And he came into the world to seek and save those who were lost. I couldn't help myself. My sin was my problem. It was sinking me down to hell. And I just put my trust in him. My friend, this is why the Lord Jesus came. To take away your sin. To save a sinner like you. You know, before I became a Christian, I used to think sometimes, because I had a guilty conscience, if only I could have a fresh start. If only I could have all my past wiped out, you know, but it was like a dream come true. But then I came across verses like we read here in 1 John 1 and 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Have you been cleansed from your sin? In 100 years, in 200 years, will you be in heaven? My friend, this is a reality. God wants you to know that He's done everything that needs to be done, everything that He can do, so your sins can be washed away. My friend, He sacrificed His own Son, His only Son. And the Lord Jesus gave everything He had for me. And I believe what God says, that His blood that He shed on the cross cleanses a person from all sin. He took my sin. He took my punishment. God justly, fairly can forgive me. What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus tonight? What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus? You know what many are doing tonight? Mañana. Tomorrow. I'll deal with this tomorrow. How many people that have said tomorrow and are in hell now? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. My friend, you can be saved tonight if you take God at His word. May the Lord help you. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor. Lord, we thank Thee that His death has paid the price of sin, and that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, bless Thy word to each heart. We pray that no one under the sound of our voice would ever leave this world in their sins without a Savior. Lord, we ask Thy blessing in the name of our Lord Jesus.